Will you please turn to 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read from verse 8 through verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for everything, having promise of life, of the present one, and of that to come. The word is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. For this we labor and suffer reproach, because we hope in a living God, who is preserver of all men, especially of those that believe. And will you please turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. We read from verse 1 through verse 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea exists no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the heaven say, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them their God. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall not exist any more. Nor grief, nor cry, nor distress shall exist any more, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he says to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that thirsts of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things. And I will be to him God, and he shall be to me son. And then, chapter 22. We read from verse 1 through verse 5. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, going out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street, and of the river, on this side and on that side, the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, in each month yielding its fruit, and the leaves of the tree, for healing of the nations. And no curse shall be any more, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name is on their foreheads. And night shall not be any more, and no need of a lamp and light of the sun. For the Lord God shall shine upon them, and they shall reign to the ages of ages. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, as we continue in thy presence, our hearts bow in adoration. We thank thee for thy love that is so everlasting. We thank thee for all that thou hast done for us. Thou hast provided and prepared for us. Lord, who can tell the wonders that thou hast performed? as we gather in thy presence, Lord, do pray that thou will open our inner eyes, that we may really see what marvelous work thou hast accomplished. O Lord, draw us that we may run after thee. We ask in thy precious name. We have been sharing together on spiritual exercise. How spiritual exercise will give us the promise of life. And the life here is not physical life, soul life. The life here is spiritual life. The life of Christ Jesus that God has given to us. So with spiritual exercise, we will have the promise of that life, not only in this age, but also in the ages to come. And this morning we would like to share together on how spiritual exercise will bring us to New Jerusalem. You remember Moses in Psalm 90, verse 2, he said, from eternity to eternity, thou art God. Our God is the eternal God. Everything that comes out of him has eternity in it. And that's the reason why when God created all things, we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, God made all things beautiful in its season. But he put eternity in the hearts of men. In other words, when God created man, man is not created for a time, for a season. Man is created with eternity in view. God is eternal, and God created man with eternal in view. So, brothers and sisters, this is why you find man will never be satisfied if we only live today. Even if you live to 100 years old, you feel that you are not satisfied. I remember when I was in college, as you enter into the entrance of that college door, there was a memorial pillar there. And the pillar is cut off in the middle to show that the person who lived and who did so much when he died, he hadn't fulfilled all that he should feel. And this is the sense we have. You know, when you look at the heavens and the earth, look at all these physical things, even the animals, they live for a season, not for eternity. Even this old heaven and the old earth will pass away. A cat or the dog that you love, they live just for a season. The flowers, as they blossom, they live for a season. And then their aim is reached, but not with man. Because God created man with eternity in their hearts. So, brothers and sisters, we cannot just live for time. Eating and drinking for tomorrow, we die. That's not God's will. God wants every one of us to enjoy life in eternity to come. We have already mentioned that before God created everything, anything, in eternity past, God has a purpose. He never did anything by chance. Before time, He had conceived a purpose. We call it the eternal purpose of God. And that purpose is concerning His beloved Son. And with His Son, and in His Son, man. Time is used by God to perform that which has purpose in eternity past. And when you come to time, you find in the Bible, there is this age, which is the age of grace, and there is the age to come, which is the millennium, the kingdom age, and then the ages of ages, which is eternity to come. So this morning we would like to talk about how spiritual exercise has its relationship with eternity to come. You know, brothers and sisters, when we look at ourselves, are you satisfied with yourself? When you look around you, are you satisfied with what you have seen? In the Bible, we find the Lord said, He will have a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle of any such sort that you find in Ephesians chapter 5. But brothers and sisters, as you look at the church today, can you see that the glorious church is coming? Maybe what you see is just the opposite. The more you look at yourself, the more you are dissatisfied. The more you look around, the more you are unsatisfied. The more you look at the church, the more you feel the church is not a glorious church. Rather, you find it is so inglorious or even shameful. But thank God, man may fail, but God never fails. So that's the reason why we find God give us the final, the last revelation. You know, Revelation chapter 21 and 22 is the last revelation that God has given to us. He shows us that in spite of our failures, in spite of our weaknesses, He is able to finish what He has purposed before time eternal, before time begins, in eternal past. God never fails. I believe the reason why the Lord showed us this last revelation of the New Jerusalem in eternity to come, He is to encourage us. to show us that in spite of all our weaknesses, He is able to get what He has purposed from the very beginning. And sure enough, He will have it. And He is using time to accomplish what He has in His mind. You know, when you look at Revelation chapter 21 and 22, a new heaven and a new earth. All things have passed away. And there is the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven upon this new earth. Now, oftentimes, we think of this in a physical sense. In other words, you find hymns being sung, how we are entering into pearly gates, and how we are walking on golden street. And our brother Len said we will be there playing harps all the day. You know, we are too physical, too material in nature. But here you find God is revealing something to us, which is spiritual reality. And when you come to spiritual reality, it is more than physical and material. It is heavenly and spiritual. How can you imagine a city to be the bride of the Lamb? That's physically impossible. So, brothers and sisters, we are not trying to spiritualize things. But we have to know that when you come to spiritual reality, it is more than physical and material. It has to be heavenly and spiritual. Because what you can see is temporary. But what you do not see, but can be only seen by the eyes of faith, that is eternal. In this last revelation, last vision that God has given to us, we see a holy city, New Jerusalem, and it is to be the bride for the Lamb. You know, you look at this wonderful city, and what is that spiritual impression that gives you? I think the impression that gives you is a union. It is the union of that New Jerusalem to the Lamb. And isn't that is the purpose of God? God's purpose is that we may be united with Christ into one. So that's why when you first open the Bible, you find in Genesis, there is a marriage. After God has created man, He says it is not good for man to be alone. Let us make him a helpmate, his like. And how we remember God put Adam to sleep and make the first surgery, operation, and out of his side, God took out something. Now, some Bible says it's a rib, But in the original, it's just something. Something out of man. And with that something out of man, God built a woman. And God led that woman to the man, and they became one flesh. A marriage. And here you find, at the end of the Bible, another marriage. It is the marriage of a city, New Jerusalem, to the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, union with God. It's a term that we probably have heard quite often. You know, with the mystics, their aim is union with God. You remember Madame Guyon, how he described this? He said, we are like a drop of water. And this drop of water gradually flows until it flows into the ocean. And when it reaches the ocean, it disappeared in the ocean. Why? Because it becomes one with the ocean. Do you see anything wrong there? Union with God. It is the aspiration of people. But when you are really talking about union with God, in the sense that the mystics are talking about, there is a flaw there. Why? Because it either will reach to pantheism. That is to say, everything is God, and God is everything. That's pantheism. And if it's not pantheism, then you go to the other era, and the era is deification of man. Because in union with God, you become part of God. You become God, deification of man. And that has been taught in Christianity. But dear brothers and sisters, what you see here and what the Bible really teaches, it is union with God in Christ Jesus. In other words, yes, we are united to God in life. And that is the life of our Lord Jesus. So here you find this New Jerusalem is in union, is married to the Lamb of God. And because he is married to the Lamb, he is in union with God. Because the Lamb is God. So we need to be very clear upon this point. Otherwise, we will be led into heresy. Thank God, we are to be union with him. But this union is through Christ Jesus. Or to speak it more accurately, we are united with Christ. And through that union, we are united to God. When you look at this city, the New Jerusalem, you find it is a huge city. Why? Because if you read verse 15, and he that spoke with me had a golden reed as a measure, that he might measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city lies four square, and its length is as much as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 stadia, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall, 144 cubits, a man's measure, that is the angels. Now this city is a cube. Why? Because you find its width and length and height are equal. Now, do you remember that in the Old Testament time? What building is a tube? Cube. The holiest of all. In the temple, you find the holiest of all, and then the holy place, and then the court. But the holiest of all is the cube. Its width, its length, and its height are equal. And can you imagine that city is a cube? You think of its length, you think of its breadth, and more marvelous, you think of its height. They are all equal. And how much is it? It says 12,000 stadia. Now you find in the Bible, 60 stadia is about 7 miles, English miles. And 12,000 stadia is about 1,400 miles. Now can you did you ever see a city that is 1,400 miles in length, 1,400 miles in width, and 1,400 miles in height? You never see such a thing. So it cannot be physical. It gives us a spiritual impression. And the spiritual impression is the immensity of it. That's the work of God. Whatever God has done, it is immense. We find the length and width and height of the love of God is beyond understanding. So what it shows us here, what impression it tries to impress upon here is the immensity of the love of God. It is through His tremendous love that we are being brought into this place. And the wall, of course, is 144 cubits. Everything is the multiple 12, because 12 in the scripture represents perfection, complete number. And a cubit is the length of your arm plus your hands. That's one cubit. And it is 44 cubits. And then when you look at this city that comes down out of heaven, what do you see? You see glory. The glory of God fills that city. The wall is made of jasper. And jasper stone. If you read the book of Revelation, chapter 4, you'll find the one who sits upon the throne is like a jasper. In other words, it is the glory of God. The whole city just is a city of glory. And it is the glory of God. And that is what the scriptures say, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle of any of such sort. God can do it. You know, man may fail, but God never fails. So it is full of glory. And glory is the manifestation of God. You know, when we are manifested, you don't see glory, you see shame. But when God is manifested, you see glory. Every time in the scripture, when God is revealed, God is manifested, you see glory. So, brothers and sisters, one day, we will be delivered out of all the shame of our flesh. And we will truly be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And when that day comes, it is all glory. Nothing of ourselves, but everything of God. Then you find there is a measuring rod. You know, in the Bible, you find oftentimes you see this measuring reed. Why? Because everything has to be measured. And measured to its fullness. And what is the measurement that God would use in measuring us, in measuring His church, and in measuring everything? God has only one standard. And that standard is His beloved Son. So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find God will use His Son to measure everything, to see whether we are measured up or not. And whatever does not meet the measure will be cast away. And only that which is measured according to Christ will last forevermore. Brothers and sisters, are we building the house of God or building ourselves before God with wood, stubble, and hay? Are we building with gold, silver, and precious stone? Today you cannot see it. On the contrary, what you see is wood, stubble, and hay. Because they are cheap. You can build a very big building with these things. But gold, silver, and precious stone are costly. You cannot see it. It's tiny. It's small. Because these are the days of small things. Do not be attracted by those that are big. You know, we want everything big. Mega church. But brothers and sisters, what God is looking for is what is of Him. Gold, silver, and precious stone. But thank God, the day shall come when the glorious church has no spot or wrinkle of any such sort. It is just full of His glory. And then you notice that this city has 12 gates. And the 12 gates, every gate is a pearl. Now, have you seen such a big pearl yet that you can walk into that gate? And the name of the 12 gates are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you have 12 foundations to the wall. The 12 foundations are 12 precious stones. Now, what is the spiritual impression that you get? The spiritual impression is the day shall come when God will gather together all his work, both in the Old Testament time and the New Testament time. All the redeemed of the Lord, both under the Old Covenant and also under the New Covenant, God will sum up all things in Christ Jesus. It is the summing up of all the works of God throughout time, whether it is in the Old Testament time or in the New Testament time. God will sum up, nothing will be lost. It's just like when our Lord Jesus performed a miracle, 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people. And after all are satisfied, God has, he gathered up all the pieces and bits and he filled 12 basketfuls. Now that's what it is. Nothing that God has done is ever lost. It is there. And if you look at it, the opposite. What is not out of God, what is not of him, what is not through him, what is not for him, will be cast out. Then when you look closely, there is something that is very strange. You find there is no temple. Now, in the Old Testament time, you find the temple is the most important thing. Because when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them to Sinai, and God covenanted with them to make them his people. And God wanted to dwell among them. But in spite of being delivered out of Egypt, they were still not a holy people. And God is holy, so he couldn't dwell directly in their midst. So what he did was, he asked them to build him a tabernacle. And through the tabernacle, he would live among his people. And you remember when our Lord Jesus came into this earth, when he began his ministry, he cleansed the temple. When he ended his ministry, he cleansed the temple the second time. Because he found out the temple gets worse. When he cleansed the first time, he said, "You cannot you do my father's house to make it a house of merchandise." But when he cleansed it a second time, he said, "This is the house of prayer, and you make it a den of robbers." And the Lord said, "If you destroy it, I will build it in 3 days." And he pointed to his own body. So when our Lord Jesus was on earth, he was the temple of God, because God dwells in him. And he dwells in God. And that is what the church ought to be. The church ought to be the temple of God. The whole city is a temple. You do not find the holiest place, the holy place at the outer court anymore. You find the whole place is the temple. God is the temple. So far as we are concerned, He is the temple. So far as He is concerned, we are the temple. Isn't that marvelous? That there is such a dwelling together in unity. But don't forget, even though there is no temple, what do you find there? You find the throne of God and the Lamb was there. And it is in the center of this city. We may be united with God in Christ Jesus. But brothers and sisters, the authority of God is still upon us. You know, sometimes we say familiarity will breed contempt. We think we are so close to God that we disregard His authority. But you find He is the supreme authority. Because at that time, in that city, there is no resistance to His authority. But His authority is supreme there. You know, it is very strange when you look at that huge city. It has only one street. Now people try to figure out physically, how can one street throw out the whole city? Touch every gate, touch everywhere. Well, they said it's a spiral. One street spiral and spiral higher and higher and higher until it touched the summit where the throne of God is. But we are not thinking in terms of the physical. We are thinking in terms of the spiritual. What does it mean? Only one street. Street is the place where people walk upon, having fellowship. So street in the scripture speaks of fellowship. There is only one fellowship. Now today we have this fellowship and that fellowship and fellowship of all kinds and how we are divided. But according to the scripture, there is only one fellowship. It is the fellowship of the Son of God. It is the fellowship of our Lord Jesus with His Father in the Spirit, and it has been extended to all those who are His. And here you find one street, one fellowship. But the wonderful is the street is golden. Have you ever seen a gold that is transparent? You do not have it on this earth. But this is a transparent gold as crystal. Everything is reflected. You cannot hide anything. In other words, the fellowship is so open that there is nothing hiding. People say, walk on the golden street. Now if it reflects all that is in your mind, do you dare to walk on that street? You dare not. But one day, that becomes a fact. That we can all walk on that transparent golden street, as it were. Our fellowship is without any shadow or shade. It is a fellowship like the fellowship of the Father and of the Son. Isn't that marvelous? One street. And then you find there is one river. The river of life. And it flows through the whole city. And there is one tree of life. But this one tree of life spread not only in the midst of the river, two sides of the river, and all over the city. It's a garden city. And every month bears a fruit. It is the fruit of life. The fruit of the Spirit of God. And the leaves is for the healing of the nations. In other words, you find fullness of life, enjoying life itself. Brothers and sisters, do you want to be there? It is true. It is God's will that we will all be there. Everyone who is saved will be there. But you remember, even before that time comes, God is preparing every one of us to be there. Every day you live, every moment you live, God is preparing for that day. He has sufficient grace. He has given us enough provisions for us to be there. Because His salvation is full. He is to sanctify not only our spirit, but also our soul and even our body. But there is one thing He requires. He wants us to respond to Him. And that is a principle God always keeps. Even with this matter of getting saved. You know what our Lord Jesus has done on Calvary's cross? Is enough to save everyone that is born to this world. But unfortunately, not everyone born to this world is saved. Why? Because they do not believe. They reject Him. And in rejecting Him, you have to suffer for your own sins. Because only by receiving Him, by the blood that He has shed for you, you have remission of sins. You are delivered from eternal death. But if you reject the Lord Jesus, your sin is still with you, and you have to pay the wages of sin, which is death, eternal death. You will be outside of New Jerusalem. You cannot be in New Jerusalem. And the same thing is true with us who have believed. Thank God we have believed. We are saved according to the will of God. And God's will never changes. Once you are saved, you are forever saved. And you will be saved to the uttermost. Whom He has foreknown, He has foreordained to be conformed to the image of His beloved Son. But there is a process. Whom He has called, He has justified. Whom He has justified, He has glorified. In other words, unless you are being glorified, you won't be able to fully enjoy that eternal life in eternity. So the Bible shows us how we need to respond. We have a responsibility. And that is spiritual exercise. He has given us life. He has given us spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit who is in us to bring us into glory. But we have to respond. We have to agree. We have to receive what the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. And if we exercise our spirit, by the grace of God, we'll reach there. And that's why we mentioned last time about the kingdom. You know, people today say, once saved, forever saved. In other words, you skip the age to come. But there is the age to come, the kingdom age. And the kingdom age is for those who have overcome. But if you do not overcome today, what will happen? Now, you find in the Bible, the Lord does not want us to have a negative mind. You know, our mind is very negative. We say, well, if I do not respond to the Holy Spirit today, if I do not exercise my spirit today, if I still live in my own flesh and live in my own way, I will be in heaven after all. I will be in New Jerusalem after all. No. You will be in Jerusalem. But you have to go through during the kingdom age. If we are not disciplined today, He has to discipline us in the age to come. So that's why the Bible said, just like the five foolish virgins, they have the torch with the oil. They are saved. But they do not have extra oil. They are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the marriage comes, when the bride comes, they cannot get into the door. They were left in outer darkness. And you find the foolish, the wicked servant, he even has his body cut into two. In other words, he will suffer during the kingdom age discipline. And God used the kingdom age to discipline those believers who have not received discipline. You cannot grow up into maturity without being disciplined. A child will never become a man if he does not receive any discipline. It's necessary. And brothers and sisters, we are not able to avoid discipline. You may think you can avoid it. Believe. Within 100 years, you may avoid it. But in 1,000 years, you will regret for it. Why? Because God is positive. He wants everyone who is saved to be saved to the uttermost. That one day, you will be counted in the New Jerusalem. And brothers and sisters, even our service, we are saved to serve Him. But if we are not faithful in our service today, just like the one with one talent, he buried his talent. He did not serve as he should. in a thousand years, he will regret it. He will be disciplined. So when you come to New Jerusalem, what do you see? That we are all sons of God. But at the same time, we are all servants of God. And our real service began in eternity. So in a sense, you'll find that our service today is just probational. Our real service is in eternity. And on that day, we will serve him according to his will. And what a service it will be. So dear brothers and sisters, I believe the Lord gave us this last vision in order that we may be encouraged or we may be warned. And you know, the Apostle John, he knew the Lord so much. But in the book of Revelation, you find twice he did something foolish. He worshipped the angel that showed him the vision. Why he was so surprised? It was beyond him. And in such a surprise, he forgot himself and he worshipped the angel. Lost in wonder, as it were. Now, brothers and sisters, are we lost in wonder? Do we think too little of what God has purposed for us? Too little for what God has prepared for us? Oh, if we really see it, brothers and sisters, I wonder whether we would do the same thing as John did. Too marvelous. It should catch our hearts. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord give us this last vision, New Jerusalem, and may that vision catch every heart. Just like the hymn we sing, we look for that city. But today we are pilgrims. We are willing to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. Because we do not live for time, we live for eternity. So may the Lord